Bill requested a wall prayer, and this is a real pretty song, so just listen to the words.
Sister Janet said they didn't practice together. I'd sure like to hear them if they did, wouldn't you? If you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'd like to share a few verses of Scripture with you. And I certainly do desire an interest in your prayers. Deuteronomy chapter 34, I want to read some verses beginning with verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's my scripture reading, including the first seven verses of Deuteronomy chapter 34. They're reading about the death of Moses. And here's the thought that the Lord has given to me for this hour. And I would like to use the title today, a title for this message being, What You Will Miss. I want you to think about that with me for a little while this morning, about missing out. Perhaps the best title would be What You Will Miss Out On. And when we read about the life of Moses, when we read these verses here concerning the end of his life, and I've never really, to be quite honest with you, I've never really known quite how to take this. I've heard some say that they believe that when God took Moses up there before he died and showed him the land of Canaan, that it was a blessing to Moses to get to see that before he died. I really don't know. I don't know if it was, or I don't know if it was hard for him to look at that. I'm not really sure. I don't think the Bible really tells us. I could be mistaken, but I don't think the Bible really tells us for sure how Moses reacted to that or how he felt about it. I've tried to think about that and meditate about that, and I could see where that certainly could be true. I could also see where somebody would say if they knew that they had missed out on something where they might think, I'd rather not see it. So I don't know really how this affected Moses, but I do know that God took him up there and he showed him the land of Canaan, and he made it known to him that he wasn't going to go in. Now, Moses had been a leader of God's people for many years, and he had labored very hard in the vineyard of the Lord. He was a very devout and dedicated servant of God. But Moses was going to miss out on the opportunity to go into the promised land where he had been leading these people for years and years. He was going to miss the opportunity to go to the promised land because that he had been disobedient unto God. God had told him, God had commanded something of him, and Moses disobeyed God's commandment, and because of that, God punished him. He punished him by not allowing to go into the promised land with the Israelites, and he also took his life there that day on the top of that mountain. God had told Moses there was a time when he had commanded him to speak to a rock. And Moses disobeyed God, and rather than speaking to the rock, He hit the rock. He smote the rock. And so because of that, Moses and Aaron were not allowed to go into Canaan. God punished them for their disobedience towards him. And so they missed out on what could have been a great blessing after years of leading the children of Israel towards the promised land. They missed out on the great blessing they could have had by crossing the Jordan and going on into the promised land with them. You know, God, when God tells us to do something, and we need to always remember this, both saved and lost alike. We need to remember this, that the things that God commands us, they are exactly that. And I'm sure that you've heard it said or perhaps seen it on church signs that the Bible doesn't teach us that God gave us 10 suggestions. He gave 10 commandments. And God still gives unto people commandments. And when he told Moses and Aaron what they were to do there, that's exactly what he meant, that they were to speak to that rock and that the water would come out for the children of Israel to have water. That's exactly what he expected of him to do. But he didn't do it that way. And I'll tell you something, you will never benefit in this, in any aspect of your life, honestly, but especially with spiritual matters, you will never benefit when you do it your way. There are great blessings to be had in doing things God's way. But we will not benefit when we disobey Him and do things our way. That has got people in trouble ever since the first man lived on the earth. Not listening to God, not obeying God, not doing things God's way has always got people in trouble. Because God doesn't take kindly to His creation disobeying Him. When God commands something, He expects that to be done. And there is always a price to be paid. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again this morning. We live in a world today where many people believe that they can just do whatever they want to do and there'll be no ill effects from it at all. It's their choice. You know, if it's my choice, whatever I choose to do, that's up to me. And people, I believe, honestly have convinced themselves that they can do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live, and it's nobody's business but theirs, and there's, no ill effects to be paid for the choices that they make. And friends, I'm here today to tell you that's not true. That's just not true. It is true that you can choose. God allowed the first man that he ever placed on this earth to choose. It is true today that we can make choices, but when we make those choices that go against the things that God has commanded us, there is going to be a price to be paid for that. Moses and Aaron had to pay the price for their disobedience. Now, Moses was a child of God, and when God took his life there that day on the top of that mountain, Moses went to heaven. He went to be with God. But I want to talk to you today that are here that are not saved, that are not children of God, that have not been born again by the Spirit of God. I want you to think with me about the things that you are missing out on and the things that you are going to miss out on if you don't get right with the Lord. I guess today that my thoughts perhaps today I will preach my testimony. But I know this today, that I love the Lord. I love the Lord. God has given me the ability to love the Lord. There was a time in my life when I couldn't say that, when I couldn't say I love the Lord, but now I can say that I love the Lord. David, in the 116th Psalm, he said, I love the Lord because. Well, today I love the Lord because. I love the Lord because of what God has done for me. I love the Lord because of the blessing of salvation that He bestowed upon me. And when He did that, that enabled me to love the Lord. And it also enabled me to love people. I mean, truly love people. We as humans, we can have that filial type of love. We can have that human level of love one for another, but the agape love of God is something different. That's a higher level of love than filial love. And because God, when He saved my soul, because He shed His love abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, which He gave to me, God allowed me to love people with a different type of love than I had been able to before that. We know that we have passed from death unto life. That's what the Apostle John told us. We know that we have passed from death unto life. How is that, Brother Ralph? How do we do that? How do we know that? Because we love the brethren. God gives us this love in our heart that we never had before. And so David said, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low and He helped me. I told you at the beginning of the revival there what David said in the 40th Psalm that he experienced, that I experienced the same thing. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, placed my feet up on a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. God did that for me. Did that for you too if you've been saved, didn't He? So I love Him today, because He heard my voice and my supplications. Heard me when I cried out to Him for life and for salvation. Heard me when I cried out to Him from the depths of my troubled soul that night, begging God to be merciful to me and to save me by His grace. He heard my voice. He heard my supplications. He knew the intents of my heart, and He granted me that desire, and He saved me by His grace. And He's been, as Sister Treva already said this morning, He's been my best friend in this life. I wouldn't want to miss, not for a moment, the things that God has to give. I'll tell you this today. The things of God are far greater than the things that you can buy with gold or silver. If the Bible teaches us anything about the blessings of God, it teaches us that the blessings of God and the goodness of God on the life of a person is far above anything that he could ever possess in this life. There's no price. Salvation is priceless. It's priceless. It's far above silver, it's far above gold or rubies or houses or land or anything that you could ever imagine. Listen, it's better to be a child of God if nobody knows your name than to be famous and known by the whole world and be lost and without God. Well, you know what? There's a lot of people in this world that don't even know who I am. There's a lot of people in this world that don't even know who you are. There's a lot of people right here in Bowling Green that don't even know who I am. There's people right here in this fairly small city of Bowling Green that don't even know my name. And probably many of you, there are people here that don't know your name, but bless your heart today, God knows my name. You don't pick up the newspaper and read about me. I'm not famous. I'm not famous. Doesn't seem like I read a whole lot about many of you. I mean, we're not famous people, are we? But I'll tell you what, there's a book in heaven, and my name is written in that book. It's written in the book of life. I'd rather have it there than anywhere else I can think of. God has been good to me. That's such an understatement. I wish I could find a better way to express that. I wish I could find a better way to explain to you the blessings of God on my life. I'll tell you what, friends, when I left here last night, I felt so good in the Lord, it would have been all right with me to just fly on up to heaven and to be home with God. God has taken me to places in this life where nothing else or nobody else could have ever taken me. God has taken me to heights that nothing else could have ever taken me to. God has blessed us with spiritual blessings, and they're far greater than any natural blessings. God has blessed us abundantly with His spiritual blessings. Has He not made us, folks? Did He not do the same thing for us last night? Has He not done it over and over and over again? Has He not made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Has He not done that for us in this life? You bet He has. God has helped me through things that nobody else could have ever helped me through. When I stand to preach, I don't feel like, and I'm just trying to be honest, I'll be honest, I'm not trying to just make an attempt to appear humble. I'm being honest with you today. When I stand to preach God's word, I don't feel like I can do it. One of the first things, that I thought about when I woke up this morning, early this morning, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind was, how that we had been blessed with such good services, and how that the Lord had anointed Brother Lovell to preach, and the powerful sermons that we had heard. I was thinking about that this morning, and the first thought I had was, I pray that I won't do anything to mess it up. I don't feel like I can do anything. But I'll tell you what, when I stand up here and I read from God's word, and I feel that touch from the hand of the Lord, when I feel the Spirit of God begin to liberate me, begin to liberate my thoughts and begin to free my speech, and I know that God is helping me, there's no place else I'd rather be right now. Nothing else I'd rather be trying to do. God is real in my life. I'd go over here this morning and I could talk to my good brother, my preacher brother, Brother Lovell. I love him with all my heart, and I can talk to him, and you can see that he's real, and we could stand here today and we could converse. But let me tell you something, friends. God is real in my life. I mean, he's real in my life. I talk to him. I converse with him. I know that God's real. God gave me great evidence again this morning, about 6 o'clock this morning. I had a good talk with him. And I'm telling you, friends, he's real. You don't have to see him. He's real. God is real in my life. He's blessed me in so many ways. One day in the summer of 1973, God really bestowed his goodness upon me. Really bestowed a great blessing upon me. I mentioned it just a moment ago. I was down on my knees. I was praying to God. I was calling upon the name of the Lord, trusting in the promise of God's word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I had been, as Brother Buddy preached about, I was greatly convicted of my sins. I was condemned before God. I knew that I was lost. And in that troubled state, with the sorrows of death compassing me and the pains of hell gripping my heart, I called upon the name of the Lord from the bottom of my heart, and He touched me down in my soul, and He saved me by His grace. And I have never experienced anything like that in this life, and will never experience anything quite like that in this life again. I know that God saved me. I know that I'm on my way home. And friends, today, listen. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. If you miss that, it would have been better for you to have never even been born. If you miss that which God has to give to you, it would have been better for you to have never even been than to live your life, no matter how much you may go, no matter how much you may be able to accomplish, no matter what kind of contribution you might be able to make to the world, it would be better for you to have never existed than to live a long life here on the earth and die without God. God has a place for us as His people. You know, we sing the song, the old treasured song, in the garden. He walks with me. He talks with me. Can you relate to that today? Has God walked with you in this life? Has He talked with you in this life? Has God, can you say today what David the psalmist was able to say with all assurity when he wrote that beautiful psalm and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? Can you say that today? Is the Lord your shepherd? Is He leading you today? Is He guiding you today? If you've been saved, I know that He is. He leads and guides His children. Friends, listen. I wouldn't take anything today. There's no amount of money that you can give me. You say, well, that's easy to say, preacher. Well, try me. There's no amount of money that you could give me that could ever replace the leadership of God in my life. I wouldn't trade it to you for anything. Those times, sometimes for just a brief moment, when I know that God is there and I know that God is leading me and God's instructing me and God is guiding my steps. Friends, listen, I feel safer in the hands of God than I ever have in any other way. When God is with me, when God assures my heart of something, I know that it's going to be all right. However, that it turns out it's going to be all right. I love the Lord. I love Him. I love Him because of what He's done for me. We love Him because He first loved us. The Lord Jesus, friend, listen, lost friend, today, He loves you unconditionally. There is nothing about you that merits His love. There is nothing you could ever do that would merit His love. He just loves you today because He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And because of that great love, He came into the world and He suffered and He died on the cross for your sins, that you might be able to be saved, that you might be able to have life eternal, that you might be able to have a friend when you walk through this life, and that one day at the end of this life, that you might be able to go to the city of God and dwell in His presence forever and forever. God did those things and made those things possible because He just loves us for a reason that we can't understand. His love for us is unconditional. But I'm going to tell you something. If you miss out on the salvation that the Lord has to give to you, you miss out on heaven at the end of this life. When this life is finished, you're going to miss it all. You're going to miss it all. God has given a commandment. We can read about it in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. God has given a commandment to everyone. And that commandment is that all men everywhere repent. And you go read that verse, you turn to Acts chapter 17, and you read that, and you won't find it recorded there that God suggested that. God has commanded that all men everywhere repent. And Jesus Christ himself, he said that except a man repent, he shall likewise perish. God has commanded repentance to the entire human race. And friends, listen, if you're ever going to be saved by the grace of God, you're going to have to repent to the satisfaction of God. You're going to have to trust him with all of your heart, and you're never going to be saved without those conditions being met. You won't be saved. And you're going to miss out. Those of us who are saved, here in a little while, we're going to take our flight. Boy, I tell you what, you think we had a service last night, you just wait. We ain't seen anything yet. You just wait. We're going to take our flight. Because God has a place prepared for his children. God loves his children so much that he made a place for us. It was prepared from the foundation of the world. He made a place for us where we can go and live one of these days and be free from all the things that defile, all the things that corrupt, all the things that hinder us in this life. Preacher, we'll be there, won't we? Brother Lowe, we'll be there together. One of these days, gathered around the throne, singing and shouting the praises of God forever and forever. I'm so thankful to God today that I know that I'm not going to miss that. Amen. I'm not going to miss it. I'll tell you what, it's a lot better place than the natural land of Canaan that Moses missed out on. Sing and shout and praise God forever and ever with no hindrance of time, no hindrance of sickness, no sorrow, nothing to defile, no sin, just sing and praise God forever and forever. If you've got any questions about what heaven will be like, and we all do, there's one of them that I believe I can answer for you. If you question in your mind, what are we going to do in heaven? I'll tell you, we're going to worship. We're going to worship. That's what I read about when I read in the book of Revelation about those that John saw. He saw them there around the throne, there at the feet of the Lord, and they were worshiping and they were praising. And that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to be in an eternal worship and praise service, praising the one that saved us from our sins. We're going to praise him forever and forever. Through all eternity. Lost friend, we want you to go. That's why we labor. Brother Wheat's exactly right with what he said in the Sunday school lesson. That's why we're laboring. That's why the true people of God do labor, so others will know what they have to do in order to be saved. We want you to go. We want you to be like Moses. Our desire is the same as Moses' desire towards Hobab. Come and go with us. We'll do you good. You'll be in a good way. You'll be on the right path. But we're going. Nothing going to prevent it. We want you to go. God wants you to go. It's going to be between you and the Lord whether you do go. But we're going. While we're here, we have a little bit of time to warn you to flee the wrath to come. But if you don't obey God's commandment to repent and believe, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it all. You're going to miss out on, you think about Moses, and I realize, as I said, Moses was a child of God. He missed out on a natural blessing. He missed out on getting to see the land of Canaan. But you think about that rich man that the Bible tells us about in the 16th chapter of Luke, that after he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, he looked up into heaven. He saw what he missed, didn't he? He saw what he missed. He saw Lazarus there, the beggar, being comforted in heaven. And he saw the things that he had missed out on. I'd like for us to have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, I plead with you to turn your heart to the Lord and seek the Lord. Don't miss heaven.